Bibles tonight and turn to the book of Psalms. Book of Psalms tonight, we're going to be looking at Psalm 119 this evening and looking at about four or five verses there. Continuing on, and we started a series last week entitled Unmovable Moorings, and we looked at an introduction there how today there are so many churches and people that anchor themselves to anchors, moorings as they're called, that are moving. And we see tonight we're going to be looking at the mooring that holds them all together, the mooring that keeps them solid. And we know Jesus is the rock, but we're going to look at tonight the unmovable mooring, the anchor of God's Word. Amen. We got into a little bit last week about that, but we're going to go more in depth as we look at Psalm 119 and verses 89 through 93 this evening. But a question that we must ask ourselves, how is the Bible being undermined today? Who is undermining it? What is the undermining that is going on? What is happening today? And do we really believe that every single boundary, decision, or belief that cannot be anchored to God's Word is that we shouldn't be doing that? Do we really believe that every single mooring that we have is connected to the Word of God? We're going to look at Psalm 119. Let's all stand out of respect for the reading of the Word of God in Psalm 119 and verses 89 through 93. God's Word says, "Forever, O Lord, Thy Word is settled in heaven. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. They continue this day according to Thine ordinances, for all are Thy servants. Unless Thy law had been my delights, I should have perished in mine affliction. I will never forget Thy precepts, for with them Thou hast quickened me." Let's pray and ask the Lord's blessing. Dearly Father, we thank You, Lord, for tonight. And Lord, we praise You for Thy Word. And Lord, we pray that we would be faithful to it. And Lord, that You give me the words to say tonight. And Lord, if there's any heart that is discouraged tonight, I pray that it would be encouraged. Any heart that is hurting, Lord, I pray that You would give comfort. And Lord, we pray that You would bless us in a special way this evening. And Lord, that we would be faithful to Thy Word, not to ourselves. And Lord, so many are faithful to themselves and to their own opinion. Many theologians today are faithful to their own opinions about Thy Word instead of Thy Word itself. And Lord, I pray that tonight we would see the undermining that is taking place today. And Lord, that You would give us grace and give us hope. Be with us tonight, dear Lord. Give us instruction. Firm up the foundations of our faith tonight, Lord. Remind us, Lord, of where we need to anchor. Help us, Lord, to make decisions to firm up those foundations, that, Lord, any shred of doubt in our mind would be taken away by Thy Word tonight. Bless us, we pray, in Jesus' name, amen. May you be seated. The anchor of the Bible. Now, I asked a question a moment ago, how is the Bible being undermined today? We're going to look at two questions that are being asked that are undermining the Bible. Now, you can go online and you can put in all kinds of Bible questions into Google, and you'll get a lot of answers. And the most prevalent ones are, you know, at Bible Gateway and these different websites that are out there. And you can ask a question, especially about a particularly, I wouldn't call it a divisive topic, but a topic that maybe doesn't set well with our culture. And you can find about five or six different websites that say, well, the Bible doesn't really say that. In this version it does, but in this version it doesn't. And so that brings us to the first question tonight. Are you holding God's actual words tonight? And that is important in our faith. I think that's pretty important. Are we sure? Are we holding in our hand tonight the actual words of God, or are we holding what man thinks God's words are? And that's the two options we have today. And there's a lot of confusion out there among this topic. And this is the mooring that is under attack the most. Why do you think? Because if we destroy the foundation and the mooring of the Bible, you can move anything wherever you want it. You can make anything allowable. You can make anything
acceptable to God. You can water down any doctrine you want. You can change anything you want. Hence why we have, there's literally hundreds of Bible translations in the English language. Hundreds. And they're all different. And they're all from, a lot of them from different sources. There's two main streams there. We focus on a couple main versions when I speak about them. I'm not going to get in. Now tonight, I'm not going to get into the whole how we have the King James. I'm going to talk about some of that tonight very briefly. But more, we're going to look at what does the Bible say about itself. That's important. If we want to understand God's Word, we got to see what the God's Word says about itself. Now, some people ask, well, all these different, this was the question that came up. I was doing a little research this afternoon, and this is what came up the most. Well, it doesn't matter. There's a Bible for every background, for every cultural persuasion. There is a Bible out there for you. That's interesting. I thought we were to bring ourselves into alignment with the Bible, I thought. Amen? That's what we ought to do. But depending whatever your background is or whatever your belief system, it even said that even no matter your belief system, there's a Bible out there for you. Are they all the Bible or is there only one Bible? Now, we get this idea, well, they're all the truth. They just have a little bit of a different take on the truth. That's interesting when you go, maybe you go to a court of law and you have bring a witness up and he tells the truth and then another person gets up and gives a little bit different take on the truth that contradicts the other person. Then a third person gets up and gives a little bit of a different perspective on the truth that's different than the other two. Now all three are giving different testimony and the judge has to decide which of those three is actually the truth based on evidence. And that's what we can do. We can see through evidence, through God's providential hand, that we have the very Word of God. And we've been updating some things, and I've looked at a lot of church websites around, a lot of even Independent Baptist Church websites. And a lot of them don't like to put on there that they believe that the King James Version of the Bible is the only Word of God for English-speaking people. You see that, that used to be universal. Hey, this was what we did. This is what we believe, that this is the accurate, inspired, preserved Word of God for English-speaking people. Amen? Amen. Okay, we can say amen a little louder than that. Amen. We have the Word of God, and we're not afraid to say that, but you'll be hard-pressed to find a lot of preachers today that'll get up and say that. Because they've been polluted with this modernist thinking that, well, maybe there's a little bit of maybe it's the best right now. Now, those who translate the King James Version in 1611, commissioned under King James, believe that there was a way to accurately translate the original languages of Greek and Hebrew into English, that there was one accurate way to do it. They believe that. Now, if you talk to a modernist, which is a known name for a liberal, especially theologian, they don't believe that's possible. Well, there's such great vast differences between Greek and Hebrew. There's no way, they say, to translate it accurately word for word. There's no way. That's the biggest fib. It's not true. In their mind, yes, because they don't have the level of education, most of them, to actually do that, but they believe, and they've been taught, that it's not possible, and this belief has been seeping into our conservative churches for decades, so now that has weakened the position that this is the very Word of God. And every single author you find in a Lifeway or Family Christian store believe this modernistic thought, every single one. Why? Because they don't believe. You believe you can use about five or six different versions, whatever. You notice that? You ever wonder why? That when you read a book by Charles Stanley and these other people, that they'll maybe have one in the NIV, and then they have it in the NESV, and then they have it in the Message and different versions of the Bible. Why is that? Well, part of it is to appeal to different groups of people. But most of it has to do with that that translation fits best what they're trying to promote. Is that what? That's not how we're supposed to think. We're not supposed to pick and choose whatever we decide to promote. We should be promoting what God promotes in His Word. And that's what we need to be doing. And that's hard to find a KJV Bible in some of these places. You go to a store and you go and look for, you know, and how many have ever had this happen? Well, I'm looking for a Bible. I'm like, oh, well, let's take you right over here. And they show you the beautiful NIV and the beautiful, oh, I'm looking for a King James. Oh, you're one of those people. Right there. And they walk away. They don't try and sell anymore. They just walk away. And one time I'm like, oh, why do you want that for? I said, because it's the Word of God. And we went in right in there, and she was kind of rude about it. So, well, right there, they're on clearance. You know, and I said, well, praise God. You know, amen. We were able to get them at a good price and give them out to people. You know, we go to the store, and you go to, and even Walmart, you can find a King James Walmart. Praise God for that. You can find everything at Walmart, including the Word of God. And you can go to the dollar store and buy, and usually they don't have the other version. They have the King James version there, and that's great. But we go down this road, and it's not popular, and we're going to briefly explore the three key doctrines of the Bible in regards to itself, in regard to its word. And we're going to look at that very closely tonight, and we're going to go through some verses. I'm not going to go through the whole translation process and the Textus Receptus and all of that. That's another sermon series for another time. And usually we'll teach that in Sunday school from time to time. It's about time for me to teach that again. But we're getting into ready for our soul winning series. Amen. I'm excited about that starting in 2 weeks. But we're going to look at first 2 Timothy 3:16, a verse we know very well. And if you've studied Bible translation and we studied the Word of God, bibliology it's called, we know this verse very well, 2 Timothy 3:16, and that we firmly believe, not because everybody else told us to, but God says that of His Word, that God, we believe in God's verbal inspiration of the Bible. Look at 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Why? That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And that we believe, because God says it, that all Scripture, not part of it. This is another popular thought. Well, the Bible contains the Word of God. It contains. And if you let that slip by, you're like, yeah, we would agree it contains the Word of God. No, what they're saying is that parts of this are God's words. Part of it isn't. That's what when they say that. They're saying, well, part of it is, but there's also part of it that is not. And then it opens up a big Pandora's box of what is God's Word and what isn't. And no, all of it is. It says all right here. And a lot of the modern translations, they take that word all out. They take that word all, so you open up the door. Well, what is and what isn't? All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. We know the Bible is written by about 40 men. Why don't we know for sure? Because there's some debate on who wrote Hebrews, whether it was Luke or Paul. There's some debate on a couple other books, whether it was really that, who the author was. Some books very clearly show who was that wrote it, by inspiration, but by about 40 men. And they were holy men, moved by God. So we see the inspiration here. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21. That the Bible isn't man's book. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21. Now you run into people, especially if you're out soul winning, that, well, I don't believe the Bible. Well, there's not. If you don't believe the Bible, then that you have a real problem. And so, well, why don't you believe the Bible? Well, there's a bunch of errors in it. Show me one. They can't do it. They can't do it. And some of them are like, well, there's a version. Oh, you have the wrong version. There's not, I don't know where the errors are in this one. You know, I can find the ones over here. There's errors in it. No, show a contradiction. Show me one. They can't do it. Why? Because that's what they've been conditioned. But if they won't believe God's word, none of your words are going to make any impact. Because if they deny the power of God and His word, they will not believe it. They will not trust in it. Then there's nothing more to go on. Because that's all we have, amen. We believe God's word by faith. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21 says this, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. It came not in old time, meaning in the prophets of the Old Testament, it didn't come because they decided to have a message. It didn't. The messages of the prophecies concerning the Savior were not just made up. Well, I decided to have a prophecy today. A lot of Pentecostal church. I have a prophecy today. You know, it didn't happen that way. They were moved by God, and they wrote down exactly what God said. Look at Jeremiah 36, verse number 2. And we see this example right here with Jeremiah, that God is speaking to Jeremiah. And now some people say, well, they wrote down the thoughts. Even some conservative people, well, it's not word for word. God just told them basically what to say, and then they just kind of put it in their own words. They paraphrased it. That's what the modernists believe, that it's paraphrased. So what does it matter? The exact wording doesn't matter. Well, it does. And we'll see that right here in Jeremiah 36, verse number 2. Take thee a roll of a book and write therein all the words that I have spoken unto thee against Israel. Not some of the words, all of them. Not, don't put it in your own words. No, write down all the words that I have spoken unto thee against Israel and against Judah and against all the nations from the day I spake unto thee, from the days of Josiah, even into this day. It may be that the house of Judah will hear all the evil which I purpose to do unto them, that they may return every man from his evil way, that it may forgive their iniquity and their sin. Now, Jeremiah said, well, you know, there's a lot of bad things, but I don't want to be an unpopular guy. So I'm going to put the judgments in there, but I'm going to make it sound softer. I think we would have heard about that if Jeremiah had done that, but he didn't. And we see that when the men of God, when God came to Joshua and God came to Moses, you don't see Moses paraphrasing what God said. He said, these are the words of God. Thus saith the Lord, and this is what God said. It's important to be accurate when we're dealing with the words of God. Amen? Very important. It's essential. If you don't believe that, then we have a problem, because then anything that, any translation that comes along or any interpretation of that, is up for debate. No, God gave every word, and they wrote down, thus saith the Lord. They were moved by the Holy Spirit. And so we believe in the inspiration of the Bible. Not only that, we believe in God's miraculous preservation. Look at Matthew 5:18. Matthew 5:18. The preservation through the ages of His Word, miraculously. The devil has tried from the beginning to destroy God's Word. Tried to stamp it out, has tried to destroy it, has had great campaigns to burn and destroy and stamp out God's Word, but it cannot happen because God preserves it by His power. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Nothing's going to pass away. God's word is not going to pass away until all is fulfilled. He has preserved it through the ages. And you look at the story of the Bible, especially if you look at the history of the Bible in the English language, and those that were martyred in bringing the Bible accurately to English-speaking people, and we see the great bloodshed and the great miracles that happened, that God preserved His Word. There's a great story in recent times, in the past 50 to 60 years, a man known as God's Smuggler. His name is Brother Andrew. And what he did is he smuggled Bibles in his Volkswagen Beetle into the Soviet bloc countries. Remember, in the Soviet bloc countries, the Bible's illegal. Religion's illegal. Religion is the crutch of the weak. They eliminated and they persecuted those Christians and imprisoned them that had Bibles, those that would print them or try and distribute handwritten copies. But he would smuggle the Bible in there, and he many, many times that he should have been caught by those guards, and he wasn't. And he was allowed to go in, and many were saved, and churches were kept growing because of God's Word. And God, he said, I firmly believe in God's preservation of His Word, because He's preserved my life and preserved those Bibles that were in my vehicle, that they should have been destroyed. Had guards, the most vicious guard, they just open it up and they uncover them and see them, and they act like they didn't even see them. And said, these weren't just having a soft heart. These were hardcore, nasty guys, and they hated Christians, and they would spit on them, and they just look at it, and there's nothing there. And said, that was God that did that. God preserved His Word. Do we believe that God has preserved His Word? We believe He has in the King James Version of the Bible for English-speaking people, 100%. Without beyond the shadow of a doubt, God preserves not just part of it. What does it say here? Not one jot or one tittle. Those are the two smallest characters in the Hebrew alphabet. That not one little mark will be out of place. If we believe that, then we're going to believe that every single word of His, every single word, every single punctuation mark, God is going to preserve. And that God is going to preserve accurately. That brings us to the third area. God's word is perfect and inerrant. Look at Titus chapter 2, meaning without error. It's a fancy word for there's no mistakes in the Bible. Oh, that's a big debate today. Well, does the Bible have any mistakes in it? It might, because it was only translated by men, or it was only written by men. There could be some mistakes in there. Look at Titus chapter 1, verse 2. In hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. What's the important part of this verse? That God cannot lie. God cannot lie. God cannot make a mistake. Wouldn't that be great if we couldn't make a mistake? Amen. Wouldn't that be great if we just went to work every day, we never made a mistake? We couldn't. It's impossible for us to. We call this the immutability of God, and that God's inability to sin. He cannot lie, He cannot mislead, He cannot fail, because He is perfect. Amen to that. We have a perfect God, we have a perfect Savior, and we have a perfect book, because God is perfect. Amen? Praise God for that, that we have that. It's perfect in every way. It is possible to have God's perfect words in English. It's possible, and this is what the modernists want you to think, that it's not. Oh, it's not possible that everything has all, you know, passed, you know, that we don't have the originals. You know, we don't have the original man, so we can't know for sure if it's really accurate. We don't have the originals. Yes, but we have perfect copies. Amen? Because if there was any, even the slightest mistake, even the possibility of a misformed letter, they would destroy it. So, nope, this is, they thought so highly of God's Word. Man, I wish we thought that highly of God's Word. I thought we treated our Bible with that kind of respect today, amen? Our young people, treat the Bible with respect, amen? Treat it, don't let it, you know, and that's what frustrates me sometimes. You know, sometimes the kids come in and it looks like their Bible's been through the meat grinder. Amen? It looks like you sat on it and you licked it and the dog peed on it and whatever. It's God's Word, treat it like it, amen? Don't be laying it around. Don't step on it. I remember one came in, and I think it was in the Christian school sometime along the way, and it was just like ripped in half. Oh, I only have half a Bible. Where is the other half? I don't know. How sad. God's Word, you need to be treated with respect. Something that I was taught, you never put a book on top of another book on top of the Bible. Always, if you are carrying a stack of Bibles, always put it on top. Why? Because it's God's Word. Don't ever lay a Bible on the floor. Oh, that was a big one. Don't lay it on the floor. It doesn't deserve it. Just like the American flag. We don't let the American flag hit the ground. It's disrespectful. We shouldn't be disrespectful to His Word and treat it like the precious Word that it is. Now, are we holding the actual words of God? Absolutely, 100%. Say that with 100% certainty. We do, right here in the King James Version of the Bible. If you're holding NIV or something else, I can't say that because there's errors in it. Proven over and over again. Weakening of doctrines and just complete omissions because they just don't fit the agenda of those who translated. Now, second, does God's Word apply to today? So, number one, are you holding God's actual? That's what they get you to think. Now, the second one is, does God's Word apply to today? Is a book that was written over around 2,500 years and was finished in its canonicity in the last 20 or almost 2,100 years, last 2,000 years. So is it applicable to today? It was written thousands of years ago. Is it applicable to today? And that's a big debate today. Is it applicable? Now, many will like you to think that it does not apply to today. So many like to take the entire Old Testament and say, oh, that's under the law, so the whole Testament does not apply to us today. It's the law, we're in the age of grace, so nothing in the Old Testament we need to live by. Well, that's very wrong. Very wrong. Do we have to follow the ceremonial law? No. Do we have to follow the sacrifices? No. But there is much commanded. The book of Proverbs is still in there, amen? Amen. We need to follow the book of Proverbs. The book of Psalms is still in there, amen? Amen. And we need to follow that. And there's much more in God's Word that we need to follow in the Old Testament. The foundation of this argument is really how you interpret the Scriptures. That's the foundation of the argument. This is the big question that people are asking today. And fewer pastors and churches are willing to stand in the pulpit and say unequivocally that God's Word applies to today's world. There is a great fallacy in thinking of the Bible as relevant today. Okay, this they say, well, is the Bible relevant? Well, there's a great fallacy in even asking the question. Why they're you look at why they're asking the question. They're asking the question, is the Bible really relevant to my life today? Because the Bible doesn't say what they want it to say. That's really the basis of the argument. And does it really apply to the lifestyle of today? Now, if you really think about it, now, if you plan to live like the world does, if you plan to do the things that the world does, no, the Bible isn't relevant to you. It never has been relevant to the world. Amen? It's never been the way that you live a worldly lifestyle. Isn't that? But if you plan to live God's way, oh, it's very relevant to you. But it has nothing to do with this world. Not one thing. Doesn't have one thing that promotes worldliness in here. Is it applicable? Can I apply it in every situation of life? Absolutely, yes. 100%. But if you plan to live in a worldly way, no, it's not going to apply to you. If you plan to live the way you want, it won't apply to you. But if we plan to live godly in Christ Jesus, amen. If we plan to live a holy life, if we plan to live a life that God wants us to live, then absolutely, the Bible's your book. But so many try and make themselves comfortable by dismantling parts of the Bible. We should change how we live according to the Bible, not decide what applies and what does not apply from the Bible based on how we want to live. That's the basis of that. That's the basis of dress standards. That's the basis of the arguments concerning music. Oh, it's a preference. No, it's not. It is a doctrine of the Word of God. That's what people, well, about salvation, you know, that's where easy believism comes in. Well, we shouldn't have to make people repent. They can just believe in their heart and be fine. I'll never forget, I talked to a lady that they came and were interested to come to church. I had been here about 2 months. And they came through and they had come from a church up the road. And they had come in and they were saying, you know, We're just looking for, you know, a change of scenery, I guess is how they put it. They put it that way. We're just looking for a little change, and, you know, we're not satisfied where we're at, and red flag went up there. But then they just kind of came in. I was like, well, mind if I come visit you and kind of talk to you? I said, sure. And so I talked to the gentleman, and he was sure that he was saved, and I always asked that. Are you sure that you say, well, I don't believe, and the lady spoke up, well, I don't believe in all this prayer stuff. I don't believe that you have to really pray in order to get saved. I was really, well, pray tell, how do we get saved then? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And she goes, well, I think you can just believe and God will save you. I just think that I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I believe that he died on the cross for my sins, so I believe it, so I shouldn't have to pray. Well, the Bible says quite a bit about confessing our sin. Amen? Jesus says, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And I tried to show those verses. Well, those don't apply to this situation. And at that point, and she just shut right down and said, well, there's no more talking about this. Never came back to our church again because I got kind of insistent as to, well, I firmly believe that you can't be saved unless you call upon Jesus Christ for salvation. A lot of people believe that they're going to heaven and believe that they're saved, but they never call upon Jesus, never once repented of their sin. They're not saved according to the Bible. That's not what I say. That's what the Bible says. Many will say, Lord, Lord. He said, depart from me. I never knew you. That doesn't apply to me. Let's look at Psalm 119 and verse 152. Let's back at Psalm 119. I want us to look at one verse. There is one word to describe the Word of God and its relevance to today, that God's Word is eternal. Eternal, without end, that God's Word is applicable for all of eternity. Aren't you so glad of that? Amen. Even in heaven, God's word is applicable. Praise God. Amen. That's eternal. We think that the Bible's just down here on earth. I firmly believe it's going to be in heaven. It's his word. Amen. And we get to talk to the word of God himself. Amen. To talk with Jesus and the Father and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Be excited about that. Amen. Excited. Amen. Psalm 119, verse 152. Concerning thy testimonies, I have known of old that thou hast founded them for this age. Oh, that's what a lot of people say. Oh, it doesn't apply to this church age. Doesn't say that. Forever. Forever and ever without end. God's word is eternal. How are we to live in this world? How are we to live? Let's look at one more verse. Isaiah 40, verse 8. Isaiah 40, verse number 8. Another verse. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Will stand. It'll never fade away. It'll never go out of style. It'll never go out of use. Amen. It'll never change. You know, you look at the old buildings in Europe and in Rome, these the Parthenon and these old buildings that are there. They're ruins. The Colosseum, they don't use it for anything. It's ruins. It has gone out of style. You know, and they thought, everyone will enjoy this forever. Oh, man has his own ideas about eternality. But no, they're just ruins. And God's word is still here. Amen. God's word is still saving souls. Amen. God's word is still changing lives. Amen. God's word is still the standard for living. How are we to live in this world the way millions of other believers have? Think about that. The way of other, millions of other believers have by the word of God. According to what every word of God commands them to do. Every command, do it. We don't like that. We like to be a free spirit. That's our society. That's our culture. Hey, just free spirit. Just do what you want. There are a lot of free spirit churches out there that have a lot of free spirited sin running around them. Amen? And this, these things don't matter. Well, I'll tell you one thing. The things that don't matter are getting thrown out the window real fast in our churches. I read an article today that a very well-known independent fundamental Baptist pastor, a very prominent fundamental independent Baptist church in California, that's the president of a very well-known independent Baptist college, that's on the West Coast, everybody knows what we're talking about, his son just founded a new evangelical church, and he endorsed it. He ordained him, and he's sitting there, he has a rock and roll band, he has everything. And he doesn't condemn what his son's doing. And that's what a lot of pastors said was going to, that's the direction he's heading with all of these things. That's where independent Baptists are heading. How sad. Why? Because got to be applicable, hip and now for today. Right? That's what they say. And I read the website and everything, and I said, you know, and they talk a lot about the love and the grace and we're accepting of everybody. We are accepting of everybody. So you can get saved. Amen. Amen. So that we can teach them the word of God. But there's boundaries in God's word. Boundaries within church. There's boundaries within our life. All those don't matter. Boundary for me might not be the boundary for you. That's heresy. God's word is true. But why is that? Because of one important, critical epidemic that has plagued churches of all ages, but especially plaguing us today. That's number three, a lack of honoring of the authority of God's word. The same way that you can tell a lot by how someone thinks about the authority of God's word by how they treat it. If you never read it, never study it, never use it, then you don't believe in its authority over you. If you did, you'd use it. Not taking God's word seriously. This has separated those Christians who were used by God and those that fell by the wayside. This separated Paul and Demas. Because Demas decided that the authority of God's word didn't apply to him. He decided that the calling of God didn't apply to him. But Paul lived by every word of God, lived by every command of God. This has separated those Christians who have heeded the warnings of God and those who have disregarded the warnings of God and reaped destruction. The authority of God's word over them. But does God's word have authority over everything and everyone else in our life? Let me say that again. Does God's word have authority above everything? Oh, we like to put things up there. Amen. We like to put things in everyone. Do you know what most people's problem with the pastor has nothing to do with the pastor himself, has to do with this? Most churches I've been in, people have problems with the pastor. They didn't have a problem with the pastor on a personal level. Oh, they loved him. But they have a problem. Hey, I didn't like what you preached about that. You're having a problem with this then. You're having a problem with the authority of God's word over you. You're not having a problem with the preacher. You're having a problem with the word of God. Look at Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. When Joshua became the leader of the children of Israel, Moses had passed off the scene. Joshua had been a general. But Joshua wanted to make something very clear to the children of Israel before he was going to lead them forward. He made something super clear to them before he was going to lead them into the promised land, that they better make sure that they listen and do every single word that God commanded them to do, because they tended to have a problem with that. They tend to have a problem, an authority problem with Moses. They tend to have authority problem with what God commanded them to do. So he wanted to make sure that they had it all settled. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Why? Because you listened to the word of God. Because God's word was the authority above all others. Amen? That's how the Christian is to live. The word of God is to have authority above everyone and everything in your life. But you rarely see that in Christians' lives today. You see that. You see it at times. And when you see it, man, you notice it, don't you? Man, they're going all out for God. Their family is governed by God's word totally and completely. I understand we all have our struggles in applying God's word. We all do. Everybody does. Amen. We all have our struggles. We all have our problems. And we all do our best. But some people say the best that they can do really isn't their best. And we say, well, I can't do this. I can't apply this in my life. It's just too hard. Then we need to trust in Christ for the help. Amen. We need to trust in the Holy Spirit to give us that power to obey. Look at Psalm 19, verse 11. Psalm 19, verse number 11. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them, there is great reward. The servant of God is warned by his words, warned by the examples. We look at the examples. There's good examples in Scripture of what you're supposed to do, and quite a few examples of what you're not supposed to do. We see that with David. We see that with Balaam. Oh, don't do that. You see example of the kings of that they did wickedly in the sight of God. You see of what not to do with Ahab and Jezebel. You see what not to do with Ananias and Sapphira. Don't lie to God. Do we follow it? Look at Matthew 7, verse 24. The authority of the word of God. Matthew 7, verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. That's what God's word is, our rock, our anchor. So if it's blowing, the blowing of liberalism, the blowing of the attacks on God's word, the blowings of peer pressure around us, the blowings of whatever it may be, of temptation, I'm doing what God said, because it doesn't ever change. That's why it's the rock. You never open up the Bible and that it changed what it said. You know, because opinions change, don't they? Because a lot of times our opinions change because of we must sometimes get more information. Oh, maybe I shouldn't do that. Or maybe I should do this. We get more information. And so, well, I just need a little bit more information. I need more information. I can make this if I have enough information. Remember, God has all the information he needs. He knows everything. Amen? Amen. And so he, if you think about this, so you can care if you can blow a fuse out if you think about this too much. But God knows everything. And God has put everything we need to know about every situation and how to come to the right outcome every single time before even time began. Amen? That's exciting. If you think about that, that's kind of deep right there. But if we get in there, you got to blow a fuse out if you think about it too hard because we think that's the eternality of God. We're finite. We didn't think that way. We don't think that way. We think in beginning and end. But all of this, right here, God had, even before time began. Praise God for that. So we ought to listen to it, shouldn't we? We ought to live by it. Raise it up. Sometimes, you know, hey, it's, you know, and think of this, this is our life. Some people, the Bible is just not even anywhere in the authority or priority. Some people, well, I've got it about halfway. Got some things ahead of it, but I'm doing okay. I'm doing a lot better than those people that don't have it at all. Remember, compare yourselves among yourselves. You're not wise. Don't do it. And then we say, well, you know, we go through revival. We ratchet it up a few places. Hey, it's a little higher. It's a little better. But there's one thing in the way. You, right here. Our head, right? We get in our own way. You know what we need to do? We need to ratchet it up even further and ratchet it way up here. Lord, your word is supreme. That used to be a motto of a lot of churches. Where the Bible is supreme of everything else. Doesn't matter what anybody's opinion is. Doesn't matter what the world's saying. Doesn't matter what the media says. It doesn't matter what anybody says. It only matters what God has to say. And you know what? The world knows what that means. That's why people who are carnal and fleshly, they don't like coming to church here. Because they know what they're going to hear. They know that they're going to hear God's word. People that have sinful lifestyles and they, oh, I can do whatever I want. And they come from that kind of background. They come into church and some of them, they make a decision. Am I going to follow God's word? And a lot of them do. Praise God. And their lives change and get turned around. They start following God's word because they lift it up to where it needs to be. But then some, well, I just want to live the way I live because they've got themselves in the way. And I said, well, I'm just going to go somewhere else. The word of God is our highest authority for doctrine. There's no commentary written by people that is higher than the Word of God. Amen? Amen? There's no commentary. There's no opinion. There's a lot of good, godly people out there that have done their best to try and explain the Word of God. But they make mistakes. They do. You can't hold up a commentary and say, hey, this is 100% accurate. I can't say that because it's written by a man. If it was written by a man, it's not accurate. We all know that. We all can be wrong about things. In our doctrine, the Word of God is our highest authority in salvation, especially the way of salvation. I was able to witness to a man last night, went out door knocking, and was able to share the Word of God with someone last night. They claimed to be, they were Catholic and claimed to be saved. And I prayed that they really are, but was talking to them, and he was talking about different things, but I just kept going back to the Bible. What the Bible says about salvation, because we can have a lot of ideas on how we can get saved. Man comes up with all kinds of funny ideas on how they can get saved. A lot of funny ideas on how they can make it their own way. But only God's way is the right way. Because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and life. And if we just left it right there, okay, he's the way, but isn't there, and he said, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Added that on there for the people who thought they could do it their way. And no man, nobody, not one person can come unto the Father except through me, Jesus Christ, our high priest. No man can come to Christ or come to God without him. God's word is our highest authority in practice. Because it's okay, right, Pastor? Doctrines, absolutely. We believe the doctrines of baptism, believe the doctrines of the Word of God, and believe the doctrines of soteriology and angelology and demonology and all the ologies. Oh, yes, Pastor. And this, a lot of churches are. Oh, yes, right there. That's what the Bible says. But then we get into, is our highest authority in practice? Oh, well, that's all relative. That's relative. You know, there is something, yes, of course, we need to be in church, you know, not forsaking the assembling yourselves together, but amen, praise God, you know, we need to be in church. I'm following that, but any other practice? Well, the Bible doesn't say it about this. What has seen a reduction is the application of biblical principle. Biblical principle. Especially from this one, abstain from all appearance of evil. That verse covers a lot of ground. Amen? All appearance of evil. Not some appearance of evil, kind of appearance, but any, all appearance of evil. That covers a lot of ground right there. I mean, I preach a whole week on just that right there. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Now, what are the ways we apply that? And we say, amen, preacher, abstain from all appearance of evil. How do we apply it? How do we apply it? Evil communication corrupts good manners. That's in the Bible too, amen. That one covers a lot of ground too. There's a lot of verses in the Bible. They cover a lot of ground in our life. Well, that means evil communication. That means I just don't need to be around people that are swearing. For people preaching message. Oh yeah, I can't be around people that are swearing. Well, that's great, but evil communication is covers a lot more than just that. That covers gossip. That covers talking wrong about the Lord. That covers cursing. That covers talking about inappropriate things. That covers a lot of areas. That covers also, there's another verse, that we're going to give account for every idle word we speak. Every single one. So we're sitting around talking about nothing. We're going to give every count of those words. Jesus said that. We must understand that in practice, God's word is still our highest authority. And that's why we're having this series. Get our mooring set. Get our anchors set. Not set in what I think. You know what? You shouldn't care one iota about what my opinion is. I don't. Amen? Because we like to think our opinion's worth something. Well, what God's word is what's important. Because I'm just a man. But his word is true. All the time. It's not our opinion, it's what God says. And God's word is our highest authority in boundaries. Boundaries. Boundaries that keep us from sin. We talked about those last week. Boundaries that keep us from falling. Boundaries that keep us from destruction. Important things. Amen. Right, young people? Up here. Eyes up here. Thank you. Boundaries. This series is especially good for all you young people. Get things settled. Don't just, oh, my parents believe it, and I believe it, my parents believe it. Well, take some time to nail it down yourself. This is important. Moorings. Anchors. Boundaries. Remember, boundaries are not to keep us in, but to keep the devil out. Amen. And so many people think of it, well, they're just supposed to keep them. They're just trying to take away my freedom. That's what the devil says. They're trying to take away your freedom and take but all these boundaries. No, it's to keep the devil out. It's to keep the devil out of church. Keep the devil out of your family. Keep the devil out of your life. Because God's word is an unmovable anchor. Not movable. You can't move it. It's the rock. And God's word has the authority to direct our life and judge us for unfaithfulness. It has that authority and that power, the living word of God. God's word teaches doctrine, brings hope to the lost, and comfort to the hurting. Amen. It's a miraculous book. It teaches us how to live. It teaches us how to help others. Amen. Be kindly affection one to another. Putting away lying. Putting away sin. Putting away gossiping about one another. But to love one another. Some having compassion, making a difference. Amen. That's God's word. It is a miraculous and timeless and living. And it is the only truth there is in the universe. So many search for truth, the truth in the stars and in the origins of the universe. So many look for truth. They climb high mountains and go to talk to mystic monks and try and find the ancient truth. It's all contained right here. Right here. No other truth. Plus the Encyclopedia of Shame. No other truth. This right here. We don't need anything else. Amen? We don't need anything else. We don't need philosophy. We don't need psychology. We don't need pills. We don't need drugs. We don't need alcohol. We don't need sex. We don't need any of this. We need this right here. Amen? God's word is true. This is what we need. It is the only truth there is. Not in the United States of America. Not the only truth in North America. It is not only truth in the world, but the whole universe right here. The timeless words of God. So tonight, is the Bible your anchor? So, well, I trust it, kind of. If you don't get that nailed down tonight, you're going to be blown and tossed with the waves of the sea. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways, James says. So if you don't have it nailed down that God's word is true, that God's word is your authority, and that you hold in your hand the very words of God for English-speaking people in the King James Version of the Bible. And say, yes, Pastor, I hold the Word of God in my hand. It is living. It is my authority. And God will teach you great and mighty things. God will use you for great things. You will grow. Once we do that, we begin to really take off in our growth. We begin to really have victory. But if you don't have that nailed down, you're always going to continue to struggle. You're going to flail about. And you're going to put your anchor. You're going to anchor to different things, but they're going to keep moving. They keep changing. But God's word, God's anchor, it's there, and it'll never move. Never move. I can say that with 100% absolute certainty, that God's word is never going to change and it's never going to move. Not because I said it. He said it. Not one jot or one tittle will pass away till all is fulfilled when he comes again. Amen? Not one word is going to pass away. Not one thing. So tonight, is it your unmovable anchor? If it isn't, come to it tonight. Maybe it used to be, but you've wandered away from it. Get back to it tonight. Because if you don't have that, this whole series is going to do you no good. Because everything we're going to go to comes from here. So if you don't believe it's your mooring, then might as well just pack it up and go home. Because then none of it you'll think will apply to you. None of it will change you. Why? Because you don't believe it's true. If you believe it's true, it'll change you. Amen. If you believe it's true, if you believe it has that power to do that in your life, then God will do it in your life.